know yourself. And in a reversed version, in another verse, chapter Hashr, he says, وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. If you do not know God, you would forget yourself as well. So if you know yourself, if you know human being, you would know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. Whoever knows himself, knows human being, he will know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way we can get to the reason of creation, which is knowing God, is to know human being. That is why we have chosen this topic, to know human being. So human being could be the center of ma'rifah in this world, in order to know God. So how can we know human being? The best way is to refer to God himself. He has created human being, so he knows the best in his holy book. Therefore, the very first step to know human being is to refer to the holy book, to the word of God, to the letter of God, and to find the characteristics that he has listed and shown in his holy book about human beings. Inshallah, in the next episode, we will follow our topic, our discussion, and our talk about human being in the holy book. Have a good time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala
the wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a 2024 military spending following heated debate between Republicans and the Democrats in the lower chamber of Congress. The bill, also known as Fiscal 2024 National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, sets policy for the Pentagon and authorizes record $886 billion in spending. The motion was approved 2019-2010, not from the typical bipartisan support for the bill, but through party lines. The measure includes a pay raise for members of the military, initiatives to counter China, and an additional $300 million to support Ukraine. The Republicans also added a number of amendments to the bill. But the Democrats said they would not support the NDAA after the Republican majority House voted for the amendments on hot-button social issues pushed by the party's hard-right flank. That includes an amendment that would reverse the Defense Department policy of reimbursing expenses for service members who travel to obtain an abortion.
Now, I have voted for the NDAA every year that I have served in Congress, but I cannot in good conscience vote for this legislation in its current form.
The Pentagon travel reimbursement policy is aimed at helping those in the military or family members who are seeking an abortion but stationed in states that have outlawed it. Representative Adam Smith, the senior Democrat on the House Services Committee, warned that Americans are going to have fewer qualified people willing to join the military because of what was passed. Republicans, however, hailed the passage of the bill and the amendments. Republican Representative Barry Loudermilk said House Republicans today passed an NDAA that increases our military's lethality and decreases the wokeness that has been infused in its ranks in recent years. The House Republicans were able to pass their amendments without Democratic support, but such provision would die in the Senate, where President Biden's fellow Democrats hold a 59-49 majority. The debate in that chamber is set to begin on Tuesday. The passage of the NDAA comes as the Senate is expected to pass its version of the act later this month, after which two chambers will negotiate a compromise that would come up for a vote later this year. The NDAA, one of the only major pieces of legislation Congress passes annually, is closely watched by a broad swathe of industry and other interests because it determines everything from purchases of ships and aircrafts to pay increases for soldiers and how to address geopolitical threats. The record military spending comes as, according to figures, the U.S. spends more on defense than the next 10 countries combined. While China, Russia, India, Saudi Arabia, United Kingdom, Germany, France, South Korea, Japan, and Ukraine spend more than $800 billion altogether, the U.S. alone spends $886. In the meantime, the U.S. has historically devoted a large share of its economy to defense than many of its allies. From 1977 to 2022, the U.S. defense spending out of the country's GDP fluctuated between 3-7% compared to that of UK, France, Italy, Germany, Canada, and Japan. The passage of the bill by the House comes as the United States has much vital issues to address, at least domestically. According to figures released by Peter G. Peterson Foundation, the United States is lagging way behind other wealthy nations in terms of health care. Figures by the foundation say U.S. per capita healthcare spending is over twice the average of other wealthy nations, including Italy, Japan, the U.K., Ireland, and Canada. At the same time, and according to figures by the same foundation, the U.S. national debt stood at over $31 trillion at the end of 2022. Of that amount, about $24 trillion, or 78%, was debt held by the public, representing cash borrowed from domestic and foreign investors. The federal government's borrowed that money, but the one who has to pay it back is the American public. Still, regardless of those facts, the United States continues to arm countries already at war with other nations, including Ukraine. Washington has left no stone unturned to provide military aid packages to Kiev worth tens of billions of dollars and continues to do so. Taiwan is also another destination for U.S. weapons worth hundreds of millions of dollars. The U.S. also moves on with its military build-ups in the South China Sea and on the Korean Peninsula, which have literally brought nothing for the Americans but fear of an all-out escalation. All in all, what seems to be of high significance for U.S. authorities is to come to the understanding that they need to stop spending the U.S. taxpayers' money for deadly wars and instead address issues Americans are grappling with, including health care.
Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi has concluded a tour of Africa. During his trip, President Raisi visited Kenya, Uganda, and Zimbabwe. In the Kenyan capital of Nairobi, President Raisi oversaw, along with his Kenyan counterpart, William Ruto, the signing of 5 memoranda of understanding. Raisi said that Iran is ready to cooperate with Kenya in the fields of petrochemicals, agriculture, science, technology, medicines, and medical equipment, as well as the fishery industry and the fight against narcotics. The Iranian chief executive also described his trip as a turning point in bilateral relations, noting that it can create a good market for Iranian products in Kenya and in East Africa. He further emphasized that the ties between Iran and Kenya would not be limited to their borders.
We have historic cooperation with the African continent and Kenya, and believe that relations between the governments and people of Iran and Kenya can expand further. Our goal is to expand cooperation by tenfold.
It is a special privilege to host President Raisi in Nairobi, and his presence is testimony to the strong ties between Kenya and Iran. It is also a demonstration of our shared commitment to cooperate for the benefit of the people of our two countries.
In Uganda, President Raisi called for expanding and strengthening relations with Uganda in various fields. Raisi, accompanied by a high-ranking delegation, was officially received by the Ugandan President Museveni at his presidential palace in Kampala. President Raisi called for the development of closer economic ties between the nations and noted that friendly countries need to work together to develop raw materials into value-added products. Two sides also inked four cooperation documents. President Raisi visits Zimbabwe in the last leg of his African tour. Raisi said Iran and Zimbabwe have great capacities that can be used in the promotion and development of relations and cooperation between the two countries. The two countries signed a number of MOUs to boost trade. In March, Raisi hosted a meeting with a group of representatives from West Africa, in which he pitched Iran as a different kind of partner when compared with countries in the West with colonial histories in the continent. The trip comes a month after Raisi embarked on a tour of Latin America, where he signed a host of agreements to boost ties with fellow U.S. sanctioned allies Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua.
Iran's view on Africa is quite different from that of neocolonialism or its older version. We seek to transfer technology to Africa and empower the continent. African leaders and their people are now quite sensitive on protecting their independence. This is among commonalities between Iran and African nations. Another issue of equal importance for Iran and Africa is the U.S. sanctions regime. With Africa's assistance, we should prevent the U.S. and certain states that still have a colonial mindset from utilizing the deadly tool of sanctions against nations.
President Raisi's trip to Africa is the first such visit to the continent in 11 years. His visit is primarily aimed at boosting Iran's foreign trade in a region with an economy of $600 billion. Iran exported $1.2 billion worth of goods and services, including petrochemical products, food, medicine, and engineering and technical services to Africa last year. The amount was still not high enough, despite it being an improvement on recent years. Iran, after the 1979 Islamic Revolution, embarked on renewing relations with the African people based on Islam's prohibition of racism. The policy of strengthening relations with Africa continued during the terms of the next Iranian president, who paid 41 visits to Africa in total. Trade between Iran and Africa increased between 2005 and 2006, but the global financial crisis and cruel sanctions imposed on the Islamic Republic under UN Security Council resolution in 2007 decimated it. Iran expects trade with Africa to hit $10 billion in the next 3 years. Africa is home to 18% of the world's population. With an increasing population growth, it sits on some 30% of the world's mineral reserves, 65% of the world's arable land, and 10% of the planet's freshwater source. It is rich in natural resources, with abundant arable land, water, oil, natural gas, minerals, forests, and wildlife. Experts believe the global economy requires Iran to interact with any opportunities on an international scale and to improve its foreign currency incomes.
North Korea has accused the U.S. military of conducting provocative surveillance flights which violate its airspace and trespass in its exclusive economic zone. Pyongyang warned Washington that if such provocations persist, American reconnaissance planes may be shot down. This comes amid soaring tensions on the Korean Peninsula, largely as a result of massive joint U.S.-South Korean war games, which have seen the White House deploy aircraft carriers, nuclear-capable bombers, and Reaper drones. Kim Yo-jong, the sister of the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, as well as one of his top foreign policy officials, said North Korean warplanes scrambled to intercept a U.S. spy plane flying in Pyongyang's exclusive economic zone, where it controls natural resources. This includes the area within 200 nautical miles of its territory. She insisted there were 8 such intrusions on Monday, denouncing the intensifying stories by the American aircraft as encroaching on her country's sovereignty. Kim issued a warning that U.S. forces would experience a very critical fight if these aggressive actions continue. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff denied Washington
was flying spy planes into North Korean territory, with a spokesman explaining the U.S. is instead in the area surrounding the peninsula conducting standard reconnaissance activities. In response, Kim fired back that the Joint Chiefs of Staff was acting as if they were the Pentagon's spokesperson. An earlier statement by North Korea's defense ministry stated that the U.S. was flying its reconnaissance planes within the country's inviolable airspace, which extends 12 nautical miles from the coast per international law. The ministry also charged the U.S. actions were raising the risk of nuclear conflict on the peninsula, pointing to the White House's pledge that the Washington will periodically dock nuclear-armed ballistic missile submarines in South Korea, while also citing the ongoing presence of American spy planes and drones. The statement alerted, "There is no guarantee that such a shocking accident as the downing of the U.S. Air Force's strategic reconnaissance plane will not happen." North Korean media described the U.S. sending nuclear assets to the peninsula as the most undisguised nuclear blackmail against Pyongyang as well as its neighbors. Last month, an American B-52 strategic bomber participated in joint air military drills with Seoul. After a multi-year pause, U.S. President Joe Biden's administration resumed large-scale war games targeting the North Korea. Consequently, since 2022, Pyongyang has launched more than 100 missiles. As part of the giant joint military exercises this year, Washington and Seoul more recently carried out the largest war drills in the history of their seven-decade alliance. Some of these drills have even taken place near the border with the demilitarized zone. The North has maintained that its weapons and nuclear programs are essential deterrent measures in the face of persisting war games carried out near its waters by U.S. and South Korean military forces, which it regards as rehearsals to invade the country. Meanwhile, in a separate report released by North Korea's foreign ministry, Pyongyang accused Washington of making desperate efforts to ignite a nuclear war and blamed the U.S. for sending strategic assets to the region. The so-called denuclearization talks that got underway after a high-profile summit between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and former U.S. President Donald Trump has stalled since 2019 over persisting U.S.-led sanctions against the North and Washington's refusal to reciprocate Pyongyang's denuclearization bid. The Biden administration has recently deployed a nuclear-armed warship to South Korea, further inciting the North to continue and expand its nuclear weapons program. Last year, the U.S., Japan, and South Korea entered a trilateral defense agreement. At the time, North Korea referred to this pact as an Asian version of NATO. In June, it was revealed that the U.S. intelligence community has concluded Pyongyang will continue to use its nuclear weapons status only as a way of coercively accomplishing some political and diplomatic objectives, not for offensive military purposes. Compared with Donald Trump, President Joe Biden has taken a vastly more bellicose policy regarding North Korea. In the last half of the Trump administration, war games were rolled back, dialogue was opened, and all sides reduced weapons tests. As crippling sanctions are imposed indefinitely, Biden has offered Pyongyang no off-ramp. The administration is demanding Kim agree to his country's denuclearization and disarmament. The current status quo has North Korea facing myriad regime change rehearsals on its doorstep, while U.S. officials periodically threaten the country with obliteration.
Crossing a new threshold in the type of weaponry supplied to Kiev, the United States on Friday announced it will provide the internationally banned cluster munitions to Ukraine.
In this environment, Ukraine has been requesting cluster munitions in order to defend its own sovereign territory. The cluster munitions that we would provide have dud rates far below what Russia is doing, is providing, not higher than 2.5%.
Sullivan said Ukraine would not be using the munitions in a foreign land. He added that Kiev has provided assurances in writing that the weapons will be used carefully to minimize risks to civilian lives. U.S. President Joe Biden defended the decision, saying it was because the efforts to defend against Russia had run out of ammunition. The move drew an instant reaction from the United Nations.
The Secretary General supports the Convention on Cluster Munitions, which, as you know, was adopted 15 years ago. and he wants countries to abide by the terms of that convention. And so as a result, of course, he does not want there to be continued use of cluster munitions on the battlefield.
A number of key U.S. allies defied Washington's decision to supply cluster munitions to Kiev.
Well, the UK is signatory to a convention which prohibits the production or use of cluster munitions and discourages their use. We will continue to do our part to support Ukraine against Russia's illegal and unprovoked invasion.
Sunak made the comments in an address to reporters. Spain also followed suit, saying that certain weapons and bombs cannot be delivered under any circumstances. France reiterated its opposition to the use of the controversial weapon. Germany said the decision goes against the Convention of Cluster Munitions that bans such weapons on the battlefield. Neither the United States nor Ukraine is party to the pact. Russia strongly condemned the move. In a statement, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said it is an act of desperation and shows weakness against the backdrop of the failure of the much-touted Ukrainian counteroffensive. Zakharova added the decision showed the aggressive anti-Russian course taken by the U.S., which is aimed at prolonging the conflict in Ukraine as much as possible. Tehran also lambasted the move. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said the U.S. decision to send cluster bombs to Ukraine shows Washington's determination to perpetuate and further complicate the war in Ukraine. Inside the U.S., congressional Democrats raised concerns over the move. Senators Barbara Lee and Tim Kaine said Washington's decision to set cluster bombs to Ukraine could inspire other countries to sidestep an international convention barring such munitions. Supplying Kiev with cluster munitions comes as the armaments are highly controversial weapons that typically release large number of smaller bomblets, which can kill indiscriminately over a wide area. Those that go undetonated potentially endanger civilians for years to come. Cluster munitions are banned by over 100 countries. The supply of such weapons bring Washington's total aid to Ukraine to more than $40 billion since the Ukraine war began in February 2022. In total, the United States and its allies have provided Ukraine with numerous military aid packages worth hundreds of billions of dollars. The military support for Ukraine includes the delivery of heavy and light military weapons and ammunition, as well as non-lethal material military aid. Those weapons are sent to Kiev regardless of the fact that Russia has time and again warned that such a trend would only prolong the conflict and cause more destruction on both sides. But Ukraine allies seem to be more concerned about Kiev's failure on the battlefield and have consequently kept pumping Kiev full of advanced weapons. Those weapons not only have failed to prevent the conflict from getting exacerbated, but instead they have led to even more escalation on both sides. With Ukraine's so-called counteroffensive now it's in second months, Kiev has announced gains during its attacks on Russian forces. Ukraine says a number of villages have been liberated thanks to its counteroffensive. Russia, in the meantime, has targeted positions belonging to Ukraine using missiles, causing death and destruction in several areas. All in all, by supplying Ukraine with the internationally banned cluster munitions, the United States is taking two huge risks. One is simply prolonging the war, as Russia has numerously reiterated. And two is possibly getting Washington involved in the conflict. And that's what many throughout the globe prefer not to pick, given its potential global catastrophic consequences.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate
is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
از امام صادق علیه السلام فرمود که اذا مات المؤمن دخل معه فی قبره سته صور.
In a thoughtful hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we read, when a believer is put into the grave, six intermediate forms display themselves to the soul of the deceased one. Each of these six forms stands by one side of the believer. These sides are up, down, right, left, front, and back. The front form is the fasting. The right form is salat. The left form is zakat, homes, and other charitable works. The form in back is Hajj. The form under the feet is the kindness and benevolence to the people. And the form on the upper side over the head is the Velaya of Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt. All sides will be effective if they are under the shadow of the Velaya. The Velaya side, which is the upper side, is the most important one among them.
چی از بالا سر میاد؟ اون وقت خود خدا دست هدایتشو برمیداره. وقتی ولایت نباشه، خود پروردگار عالم دست هدایت رو برمیداره.
Now, by upper side, we mean Allah too. If a believer believes in the concept of velaya, Allah himself will help him or her from upper side. In better words, all the dangers will be stopped from different sides if Allah looks at someone's faith in the concept of velaya. Velaya means firm belief in the guardianship of Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani is the guest speaker for today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, for today's discussion, we want to talk about an interesting topic, and that is hairs. So, hairs in Arabic literally means a fortified and firm place. But nowadays, in the lives of the Muslims, especially the Shia ones, these are some Quranic verses, zikrs or revocations narrated and supplications recited in order to protect one's life and property against damages or are carried in written forms. For example, in a form of necklace, in a form of armband or something like that. These are called, we can say, hairs. In English now. And hairs of Imam al-Jawad is a very much famous poem. Before getting to hairs of Imam al-Jawad, what is the content and what is the use of that? Let's talk a little bit about hairs itself. What is hairs?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hairs, as you rightly mentioned, in the past, for the cities, there was a wall around the city which protected the cities from the attacks of the enemies.
Yes.
It was like a hearse.
Yes.
Because it protected the people.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Protecting the people, protecting the inhabitant of the cities. So hearse, when it comes to hearse of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, which we have from the Holy Prophet, from Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, from Amir al-Mu'mineen, we have different ahraz or hearses that are narrated, but one of them is very famous, which is the hairs of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salatu wassalam. So this is a kind of special dua, a specific dua, because we believe that Imam alayhi salatu wassalam had a kind of divine knowledge,
mm-hmm.
because their knowledge was not the normal knowledge
okay.
that we achieve, for example, by going to university, Islamic, for example, seminaries, houses, these and that things. We have teachers, for example, who acquire our knowledge through this kind of means.
Yes.
But when it comes to A'imma alayhi salatu wassalam, their knowledge was a specific sort of knowledge, a unique kind of knowledge. Based on this kind of knowledge, sometimes we have some very nice narrations, ahadith
yes.
from A'imma alayhi salatu wassalam, in which A'imma says that if you read, for example, if you have this, for example, text of the hairs, you will be protected against different things.
Yes.
So
the damages, you know,
exactly,
the people
yeah.
and the we can say the damages and the ill will of the people or ill intentions of the people, you know.
Yes, of course. And okay. it is also based on the experiences of the people, you know, throughout mm-hmm. the history of Islam. People experienced
yes.
Making use of these hirzes. And even some of the Wahhabis who are against these kind of du'as or hirz, but when it comes to hirz Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam, they allow the people to use it
mm-hmm.
because it is experienced.
Yes.
So the text of the this hirz is of two types. One is long and one is very short.
Yes.
Let me just read this short version of this hirz,
okay.
which is says, Ya Nuru, Ya Burhanu, Ya Mubinu, Ya Muniru, Ya Rabbik fini shurura wa afati duhur wa as'aluka an-najat yawma yunfakhu fi as-sur. This is the text, the short yes. text of this hirz.
Hirz of Imam al-Jawad.
Hirz of Imam al-Jawad yes. alayhi salatu wassalam, which is very famous.
Yes.
And of course, this hirz, the people, according to the hadith, they can have it, and it will protect them against,
yes.
Let's say, different kind of shurur or the evil things.
It must be read out or no?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
must
it's better
be
to read. It's better to read and hold it on the arms.
That's right.
Yeah.
So do you believe, for example, that the written forms of some ayahs, of, because the Ayatul Kursi, Ayawa and Yakad in the Holy Quran, which is called Ayatul Hirs, okay?
Yeah, of course.
The people believe. We can say, when they are written in a piece of paper and kept in a, for example, leather, how can I say, amulet or band or
like
bag around your neck, are they really protective?
You know, it depends. You know what hirs we use, and we should refer to ahadith and riwayat, the instruction about that hirs, because different hirs are there. Sometimes there are du'as, there are kind of supplications that you should read. There are sometimes ayat of the Quran, surat of the Quran. For example, if you read four quls, which we say qul huwa Allahu ahad, these four surahs, it is very much narrated in the in our sources, that even by the Holy Prophet, from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that says that if you read, for example, these four surahs of the Quran, then of course you will be protected, particularly when you go to the bed. Before sleeping, you have to read these. This is also a kind of hirs.
Yes.
But of course, when it comes to hirs, Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam, it is better to write it on a piece of, for example, paper and hold it, or have it on your, for example, shoulder or arm. This is the way that you have to use it. But sometimes, of course, there are some other hirs that we should use in different ways. It depends that what hirs we are going to use.
That's all right. We know that we have the famous concepts of tahleel, tasbih, wa tahmid, okay?
Yes.
These are the concepts, for example, saying la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, okay?
Yes,
these are the azkar that has been recommended by Prophet Muhammad and the infallible imams in difficult places. And we have so many of them in our ayat and riwayat.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praises to Allah, all glories to Allah. We worship Allah and no one but Allah.
But the case is that we can say sometimes the use of these ahraz and these revocations and the supplications becomes a kind of superstitious belief for the people. Up to an extent, that there are some people who misuse such concepts. For example, they sell pieces of paper, ahraz are written on them, for different diseases and for different damages. Do you approve them?
No, of course not. You know, of course, as you rightly mentioned, sometimes there are people who misuse, unfortunately, these kind of things. And, you know, this kind of ahraz or hirzes or du'as or supplications are available on our ahadith and riwayat. But it is better for the people to refer to the scholars whom are really scholars, whom are the pious scholars, the knowledgeable scholars, that they can trust them. But, of course, sometimes there are ignorant people who do not know about these kind of things, who are like ignorant, illiterate, kind of uneducated people. If you ask them that, please read the text of this hirs, please read the, write the text of this du'a, they are not able even to read one single word of those texts.
Okay.
And they do not know the meaning of the hirs, they do not know the meaning of these du'as. They just make money by just, as you rightly mentioned, selling some pieces of du'as and, let's say, texts to the people. That's why it's better for the people not to refer to these kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to, for example, refer to either to trusted sources, like ahadith, riwayat, if they themselves can read.
Yes.
If not, they have to refer to the scholars, to the ulamas, who
That's
are
right.
really knowledgeable person and particularly pious people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dua and the dhikr will have its effect if it is said, if it is uttered by a pious person.
Yes.
That is the effect. Otherwise, for the rest of the people, it would not have any kind of effect.
So reciting a dua has its own etiquette, like the ayahs from the Holy Quran or not? in any situation and in any condition, we can recite a dua and supplication. I mean, does it have any adab? Does it have any, for example, not, adab al ziyara, adab al dua, or something
has,
like that?
It has, for example, about Surah Al Hamd. We have in our narrations that, for example, if you feel some kind of pain sometimes in your heart, for example, this is a very nice instruction saying that you have to make wudu and then stand facing Qibla and put your right hand on your heart and then read seven times Surah Al-Hamd.
Okay.
So the specific instruction is there.
Yes.
We cannot, for example, read in each and every kind of way that we use.
Yes.
So that's why when it comes to the ahraz, to the du'as, to the supplication, it is better to see what is the exact instruction and how can we, for example, say that du'a, how can we, for example, make that kind of supplication. The way and the instruction is very important. It is very significant. And sometimes even it is important that what kind of person, what kind of people use this dua or say this dua or make dua. That's also, again, important that we should that should be taken into consideration.
That's right. Another important question regarding the hairs or these supplications and the duas. Are the ones that are related to, in fact, to oppose satanic or jinn powers? You know, we know that in the public culture of the Muslims, especially the Shia lands, sometimes the people believe that some people are under the negative damages of the satanic powers or the jinns. Of course, jinn, I mean in the negative sense of the word, because they believe that jinns are two types, the positive ones and the negative ones, or the evil ones, and we can say the heavenly ones. So is it true that, for example, a person can be under the spell of a jinn power, I mean the evilish jinn power, and then reciting of some of these formulas will save them from their traps or something like that?
As according to our scholars and the narrations, the very famous scholars and also lots of narrations, and we have this that when, of course, as you rightly mentioned, we have two types of ajinna or jinns.
Yes.
Some of them are good, some of them the evil. The point is that they do not have any power to control, for example, to govern, to rule over the human beings.
Yes.
Except for the case in which, for example, the people themselves refer to them or open the door for them.
Yes.
To allow them to come to them and to contact them, to communicate with them. In this case, of course, some of the evil of, we can say, jinns, they can contact, they can communicate the people. So in this kind of cases, if you want to protect themselves, if they want to protect themselves, of course, there are a kind of du'as. There are a kind of Surah Al-Jinn, for example. It should be written in a specific way. And also there are specific du'as. There are specific surahs that should be read by these people. Yeah, in that case, they would be protected. Because we believe that there is two kind of phases of existence, or we can say even life for us. One is this very material and physical, bodily kind of life with five sensations. We can achieve knowledge about each and everything in this phase of existence and life.
Yes.
But there is another supernatural or transcendent aspect of our existence, which is spiritual one, immaterial one. That's why sometimes these du'as and these ayat, verses, supplications, they have that kind of transcendent or immaterial kind of effect or impact on our souls. That is why, yeah, it is possible that we say that, of course, sometimes when we read specific surahs according to the riwayat and ahadith and the scholars, and also some du'as and supplications, they will have its immaterial or supernatural kind of effect either on our own souls or either or on those kind of existence or creatures that we cannot see, but they are there, and it will have its own impact on them if it is performed in that specific way according to those specific instructions.
That's right. Beside hairs and dua, we have another concept which is called ta'weez. You know, there could be some things, some written forms, a picture, a dua or revocation or something like that. which are here and there, we can say that's right, on the wall or in the house or something like that. They have their own specific usages. Unfortunately, this concept has been also deviated from its right path. But the case is that according to, we can say, the ulum khafiyya, or the strange, we can say, sciences, which are Islamically also discussed, all these intricacies has been discussed by the religious scholars. And out of the Sharia of Islam, they are not accepted at all. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice explanation regarding the concept of hairs and hairs of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. It was very kind of you.
You're welcome.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information on this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs, and our previous episodes, visit our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. The another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
In the limelight. In the United States, attorneys for former President Donald Trump are asking the Georgia Supreme Court and the Fulton County Superior Court to quash the release of a special grand jury report into Trump's alleged interference in Georgia's 2020 election. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. United Press International, UPI, has covered this story and tells us more. Former President Donald Trump on Friday, 14th of July, made another push to block Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis from investigating him in allegations of election interference in the 2020 presidential election. Donald Trump's legal team filed a petition with the Georgia Supreme Court to disqualify Fannie Willis from investigating him and also block any findings and evidence compiled by a special purpose grand jury used in the probe. The special purpose grand jury listened to testimony from about 75 witnesses between May of 2022 and January of 2023. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger in June spoke with federal prosecutors about allegations that Donald Trump tried to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Brad Raffensperger, a Republican, continually has insisted that Donald Trump in 2020 asked him to find almost 12,000 votes to reverse Joe Biden's victory in the battleground state of Georgia. "All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have. Because we won the state," Donald Trump said, according to Raffensperger. The Fulton County District Attorney, Fannie Willis, has indicated that she plans to seek an indictment sometime in August. Still, pending before a judge is a similar motion filed in March in Fulton's Superior Court seeking to disqualify Fannie Willis in the investigation. Donald Trump's three-member legal team on Friday, 14th of July, said the latest motion was filed because it is justified by extraordinary circumstances. Even in an extraordinary novel case of national significance, one would expect matters to take their normal procedural course within a reasonable time frame, the motion said. But nothing about these processes have been normal or reasonable, and the all but unavoidable conclusion is that the anomalies below are because petitioner is President Donald J. Trump, the motion states. Stranded between the supervising judge's protracted passivity and the district attorney's looming indictment, Donald Trump has no meaningful option other than to seek this court's intervention. The website Atlanta News First has also covered the same story and tells us more. Attorneys for former President Donald Trump are asking the Georgia Supreme Court and the Fulton County Supreme Court to quash the release of a special grand jury report into Donald Trump's alleged interference in Georgia's 2020 election. On Friday, 14th of July, Donald Trump's attorneys once again asked Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis to be blocked from further investigations. Earlier this year, according to Fulton County Superior Court filings, Trump's attorneys also made the same requests. On Tuesday, 11th of July, a grand jury was seated in Atlanta, Georgia, that will likely consider whether criminal charges are appropriate for the nation's 45th president or his Republican allies for allegedly efforts to overturn Trump's 2020 narrow election loss in Georgia. Last year, the Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis opened a criminal investigation into attempts to influence the administration of the 2020 Georgia general election. Months later, a special grand jury with subpoena power was seated in May of 2022. In court filings, she alleged a multi-state coordinated plan by the Trump campaign to influence the results of the November 2020 election in Georgia and elsewhere, a contest that eventually saw Joe Biden become the first Democrat to win Georgia since Bill Clinton in 1992. In a 24th of April letter, Fannie Willis warned Fulton County Sheriff Patrick Labatt of charging decisions coming this summer. In connection with her investigation, she also notified Fulton County deputies she will announce charges from her investigation sometime between 11th of July and 1st of September. Fannie Willis also has notified Fulton County Superior Court Judge Euro Glanville her office plans to work remotely during the first 3 weeks of August and asking no trials be scheduled during that time. Fulton County deputies were in Miami, Florida last month as Donald Trump appeared in federal court in Miami in his latest round of legal challenges. The deputies were there to observe how local law enforcement authorities were preparing before, during, and after Trump's arraignment, when he became the first former president in history of the United States to be criminally charged by the federal government he once oversaw. Earlier this year, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg charged Donald Trump with alleged hush money payments made to actress Stephanie Clifford, whom he feared would go public with claims that he had extramarital affairs with him. A Manhattan grand jury has been probing Donald Trump's involvement in a $130,000 payment made in 2016, to the actress Stormy Daniels to keep her from going public about an encounter that she said she had with him years earlier.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mahdi, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Peace be upon you, dear listeners to IRIB English Radio. We are together with another session of Gate of Knowledge program. And we were talking about the teachings of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in the 31st letter of Nahjul Balagha, his advices to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, and Imam said there are a couple ways in order to have a healthy spiritual heart, and we reached to the point that Imam says nawwirhu bil hikmah, enlighten your heart, which is going to take you through this spiritual journey that you have in this dunya and this life, bid hikmah. Hikmah is needed to enlighten or to light up our way so that we can see through things that people cannot see in the darkness of misguidance, so that we can take actions on things people usually are heedless on, so that we can carry out the duties that are on us as our responsibilities. We usually forget about them, so that eventually we can grow to constantly become better and better in this life of dunya. Imam says, وَنَوِّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ, enlighten your heart with wisdom. And what is wisdom? We talked about it in the previous session, but we also want to talk about the factors or the actions that can increase, what is prescribed to increase our wisdom and hikmah. Number one that we talked about was samt, or practice of silence. That if you try to control your tongue in the times of ease and in the times that you're able to grasp a control on your tongue, then that inshallah will become a cause to increase your wisdom in the course of time. Let's take a quick break and inshallah we'll be back.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, we're back and we were talking about the wisdom and the things that can increase or intensify the wisdom or that power of wisdom in us. Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam says, "At-tafakkuru hayatu qalb al-basir." Thinking, contemplation, is the sign of the liveliness of a heart that sees or has a vision. And then Imam, in another note, he says, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْفِكْرِ فَإِنَّهُ حَيَاتُ قَلْبِ الْبَسِيرِ. It's yours, it's your duty to contemplate, to deeply think. And that is the life or the living of the heart that is having a vision, is basir, sees through. وَمَفَاتِيهُ أَبْوَابِ الْحِكْمَةِ. And it is the key to the gates of knowledge. So one was practicing silence. Number two, if you're silent, what to do during the times that we are silent? Are you busy with tafakkur? It's been said about many of the scholars that majority